If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today, I'm eating Raising Cane's. I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle-cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
Live from Lincoln, America, here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks.
I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. We have one very, very, very happy person at the station. It's not in the studio. It's behind me. Mr. Rudy. Rudy.
Oh, Rudy.
The Blue Jays are on to the World Series.
Jeez, didn't even know that, really.
Last night, the Mariners had a chance to get to their first ever World Series. They led 3-1 in the seventh, thinking, okay, we're going to do this. George Springer says, not so fast, 3-run home run. Blue Jays win. 4-3, first World Series appearance since 1993.
93.
For Toronto.
Who would have been on that 93 team?
Is that Joe Carter?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Rudy shaking his head. Bill, you remember Joe Carter.
Yes.
A big dude, home run hitter. I'd say right fielder or left fielder. Anyway.
He's some sort of a fielder.
He was a fielder.
He was a fielder. He played out on the field on defense.
Hey, so it's Toronto, L.A.
Toronto. And the Dodgers. Huh. That's your World Series this year in baseball.
Okay. All right. I'm down with that. How do you feel about that, Bill? It's not a blue.
Well, no, I'm not down with it at all.
Why?
Because I've had a very strict, whatever the word I'm looking for there.
Very strict what?
Path of what I wanted in the World Series, and that's cold weather. So now we have a dome, and we have Los Angeles.
And
so
they won't open that dome,
I want to see it when,
I hear you.
If they're playing outside in Detroit or something, and it was like right now in Detroit, I'm sure it's in the 30s, I'm sure.
So check right now this morning.
I'll check this morning. Detroit weather right now.
I got it.
Yes.
It would have been awesome. Detroit weather report.
The Yankees would have been Detroit. We always do Detroit weather on a Tuesday.
It's right now 48 degrees in Detroit, believe it or not.
Balmy. Seeing breath.
Yeah. Not seeing. Yeah. Huh.
40 and light rain.
Yeah.
Raining.
Okay. Well, that'd be good.
Yeah.
That's great for baseball.
That'd be great for baseball.
Light mist.
Get the tarp down.
Yes.
Toronto, L.A. Yeah. All right.
Long flights for both teams.
I can't name any Toronto players. I can name a host.
You can name a Toronto player.
The catcher.
No, that's the last guy. Kirk?
He's my favorite player playing right now.
The big dude. The small dude.
Yeah.
All right.
The short, big guy.
Who can I name?
Like Vlad Guerrero Jr. You should know that name.
Mm-hmm. I do.
His father, of course, was a wonderful major league player. He's very good himself. George Springer, I mentioned that he hit the home run to take the lead to win the game.
Who's their shortstop?
I don't know that one.
Steve, back 40 years ago, wasn't it Ozzie Smith? He was the shortstop for the
Cardinals.
That's right. Wasn't he the one that got rolled up when they were doing the tarp? They were putting the tarp down and he got rolled up on the tarp and he like broke his ankle. Check that for me. Yeah, it was
just Google Ozzie Smith
tarp and see I think it was Ozzie Smith. There was a player that was lost for the World Series.
It wasn't Gary Templeton, was it? It
was not Gary. No, not the person that does the.
No, it was Vince Coleman.
But
it was the Cardinals in 85, so you got the right team, the right year. Yeah. Vince Coleman.
They were putting out the tarp, and they rolled over his leg and basically snapped his ankle.
How about this for a lead? It says, in a freak accident, Cardinals outfielder Vince Coleman was run over by Busch Stadium's automated tarp prior to game 4 of the 1985 NLCS.
Can you imagine a nightmare there?
That would have been, all of a sudden, who was the Oh, was it Whitey Herzog? Who would have been the...
Probably Whitey.
Hey, Whitey. Hey, real quick, like that. Yeah, scratch Coleman. What do you mean, what scratch happened? Coleman like that? Yeah, ran over by the tarp.
The tarp rolled up
the tarp,
on him.
The tarp rolled. I was like, what tarp? Well, it's raining, and he was... He was not, he got rolled up by the tarp.
Wasn't paying attention.
I mean, you would never, ever in a...
That's Vince Coleman.
Vince Coleman.
Sorry, Vince. That was 40 years ago. 40 this years, year, exactly.
40 years
job.
Ago.
Good job. Good memory. I mean,
so what I do is baseball ag is what we're trying to focus in on.
You're like Peter Gammons.
Yes. Peter Gammons.
Bill, now, we're on a sports show.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good. We're going to have to, like, kind of pay attention to Toronto and the Dodgers.
Yes, we will.
Because 2 years ago it was Diamondbacks and the Rangers, and none of us watched any of the games, really.
No.
World Series. Rangers won that World Series.
God, now that I'm thinking about
last
it.
Last year it was Dodgers-Yankees. That was
entertaining. It would be great. It would be cold. I just like cold. I like seeing just where
you
it's
like
just,
the breath.
I like, yeah, when you people can see their breath playing baseball.
Craig Nettles.
Yes, we brought it up already. He was a vacuum at third base.
He just happened to play when Brett played, George Brett.
Yes.
So Nettles was always gets forgotten, right? Yes. He played at the exact same time
as George. He's got some World Series rings, though.
He does, and I always felt he was similar to Brett.
Agreed.
I mean,
bigger though, wasn't he?
Maybe a little bigger.
In my mind, he was bigger, more stout.
Yeah, he probably was a little.
George Brett, that's who we should have on for aging gracefully.
That'd be great.
He's aging very.
Let's find his number, Rudy.
He's super tan. Can we get a hold? There's a chance.
One of the best players of all time.
I don't know if George Brett is really that booked up right now. I mean, it's been again 40 years. So
Royal season's over. He's
Royals
free.
Is over.
Wait a second. We could get World Series analysis.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
If we had George Brett,
can you please get a hold of the Royals, Rudy? Say we'd like to talk to George Brett.
can we talk to Mr. Brett, please?
Yes.
George Brett. I mean, we're just kind of bypassing Alex Gordon. George was going to George Brett. I'm okay with it.
Probably could get Alex Gordon, too, since he's from here.
I could probably get Alex.
A boyhood. I mean, I would say that George Brett was like a boyhood idol of mine. I mean, for sure. It'd be weird having him on. It'd be odd from that standpoint. Remember when he would flirt with 400?
Yeah. How about he did.
Insane.
He would flirt with 400, and we would get up, and what did you do with the paper?
That's right. You check it out. He's at 401.
Yep.
Is there any chance he can hold this?
Yep.
How about if we had George Brett on and we just started naming the team off? You seen Saberhagen?
Mayberry?
How's Willie
what about
Wilson doing?
AO?
how's Podtech doing?
How about Quiz?
God dang, Jake pulled a Podtech.
Dennis Leonard with us still?
Wow. Cookie?
Yes.
Wow.
Frank White?
Well, and we missed the big one, Willie Wilson.
I said Willie Wilson.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry.
Then I said...
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Said Willie Wilson.
Willie Wilson.
See his shoulders pop up? I said Willie Wilson.
Daryl Porter.
Yeah. Daryl Porter's a catcher. How do you know all these guys?
It's in a song. There's a song called Talking Baseball. They do it for every team, and that was some of the guys mentioned from like the 80s for the Royals.
I've never heard this song.
I could find it.
The only song that I'm ever aware of is the 85 Bears Super Bowl Shuffle. That's all that I know for songs. Is
me find it.
Jake, how do you know these names?
Yes.
They're in a song.
They're in a song. You've heard the song. It's a medley.
They're in a song?
If I can find it. It's a great song. There's the guy, I forget his name, from the 80s. He did like a song for every single team in baseball. It was called I'm Talking Baseball, like Baseball in KC is that one. I forget about the other ones, how they went. But I did hear about the Yankees
one was
good. It'd
be kind of fun because once you kind of had it one row, you had them all.
Yes,
I'll just name some names. Just give me some names.
You know, when you
the
think
Dodgers
about it,
would definitely be Valenzuela, right? He'd be in the song.
Oh yeah, Garvey.
Yeah,
Garvey.
Say
Ron. Say Dave. Remember Dave Lopes?
Yes.
Second base. Rick Monday.
Sax was at first, right?
Sax was a second baseman.
Second.
He had Steve Sax disease. He would field it and then just throw it over the.
I thought that was more of the Twins. The guy at the Twins did that.
Chuck Knobloch did that too. Yeah. But Sax is the first guy.
Knobloch, I think.
Yeah, Knobloch.
Yeah.
Steve Sax was the first.
No, Steve Sax disease was first, then Knobloch. It was 100%.
What did Sax play?
Second base.
I thought he played some first.
No, Garvey was their first baseman.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, I know I'm right because I was a Dodgers fan. The Sax, it was Steve Sax disease. a lot of second basemen. I was a second baseman, and you didn't even want to watch his situation because you'd be like, oh, God, I'm going to get this in my mind, too. Start airmailing throws to first base. What do you do? Was wish it. You want to play it?
You want to hear this?
Yeah. This is
just
what
so you
is
know
this?
What I'm talking about.
What okay. is yes. this?
The man's name is Terry Cashman. He did talking baseball for every team in Major League okay. back in the
and
80s.
What is this?
This is the Royals song. This is talking baseball with the
80s.
85 KC Royals baseball team.
All right, so I
Terry
do
Cashman.
Hit
here
it,
we go.
Hit it.
Hang on. Oh, it's hang on. I start over.
It's better be good.
It is good.
It's not song of the day.
It is good. Here we go.
I'll give it a four.
Baseball in KC. Kansas City got up to date in the field and at the plate. They owned the AL West for many years. Whitey led the way.
Freddie Pottek, Hal McCray.
The 1980 pennant.
Here we go.
A royal cheer.
We're talking baseball. Willie Wilson, Georgie Brett.
Royal baseball. Akins, Tom Poquette.
Leonard.
And Gura throw the pee.
Daryl Porter. Whoops.
He's in St. Louis. Talking baseball. Baseball in KC.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
That's incredible.
Whoa.
The show took a turn.
Whoa.
The show took a turn. How about the best part? Jake sang it. He knew all the words. Did it not, when it first started out, did you not think it was going to be the beginning of Welcome Back, Cotter?
I thought the opening was
Welcome Back, Cotter, and then all of a sudden it turned into a Casey's 80s baseball.
Daryl Porter went to St. Louis.
Whoops.
Whoops.
He's in St. Louis.
Whoops.
Jake knew that song.
He knew the song.
Okay,
great
that's,
song.
That's
so good.
There's so many elements of you
it's
that are bizarre
so good.
That come out.
Oh, Daryl Porter. Whoops.
When would you listen to that song? Like what?
Years ago on the station, Tom Stevens. You know, okay, Tom Stevens is a diehard Royals fan. Yeah. He'd do a Royals update every day in the show, and so he'd play that song every single day.
Every day.
Right. And so every day, I'd crank it up just to hear the song he played.
The best part is whoops.
Yeah. Terry Cashman did a great job with that song and the whole talking baseball series of different songs.
He'd do it every team.
Yes.
Oh God.
Yes.
Oh, he wrote one for The Simpsons as well. Like he did a lot of big songs. The same model, different names.
They took Welcome Back, Cotter, beginning of that, and they made it into a song for every MLB team.
Going by the names. Wow. Good job, Jay.
You're welcome. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you for letting me play that song. It made me happy.
For the Blue Jays? Yeah. I wonder if he did one for the
Blue Jays. I don't know if the Blue Jays have one. I've never heard that one.
Wow.
But, yes. Yeah. Congrats, though, to them. That's a long way of saying congrats, Blue Jays, Dodgers, World Series. I think that starts.
And the Royals.
I'm guessing that starts Thursday is my guess. Let me get that right.
Friday night.
Friday night.
The only reason they know this is because Rudy filled me in.
Okay.
From the producer
chair. It is Friday night, 7 p.m., game 1 and 2 in Toronto.
Okay.
It's on Fox on Friday.
I would like to see a more traditional team in there from the AL, but that's all right. Like a more traditional team. Like, who is that? Boston Red Sox, like the Dodgers Red Sox.
You like just
the same
thing
because it'd be cold.
Right.
It'd be cold.
The snow.
Yankees.
Possible snow.
Yankees.
Fenway in late October. Be awesome.
That's pretty magical.
Be magical.
So the Dodgers, Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Shortstop.
I don't think he's shortstop.
Oh, well, isn't Mookie? Yeah, I think he's.
Is he shortstop?
Is he playing outfield right now?
I don't know.
Who's their star shortstop then? Bill, come on.
That's something that Rudy would know that. I don't know. I don't know what position Mookie Betts plays. I just know he's very good.
Let's go through every MLB team.
We're not doing that.
We can't name hardly anybody.
No, we'd know anybody. '70s, we could.
Yeah, which is the whole Dodgers roster in the '70s. Hey, by the way, there was a little change up in that song. Willie Akins. See that was after John Mayberry.
Yeah,
Willie Akins came after John Mayberry.
You're right. Mookie Betts is shortstop. Well done. He's shortstop. Sorry for my pushback there.
Yeah, pushback. Yeah.
Wow. Mookie Betts is shortstop. Ohtani, of course, had the best ever game in Game 4. He had 10 strikeouts pitching, we mentioned that, and 3 home runs. It was just insanity.
I know Kiki Hernandez is a left fielder. Does that sound right to you?
Enrique Hernandez.
They call him Kiki.
We're doing, yeah, we know baseball. We know baseball.
All right, this is
Idle Chit-Chat. Anything else Idle Chit-Chat for you guys?
I don't...
I got nothing.
I called Bill yesterday and he didn't answer.
Didn't answer. Well, first of all, I called him. I texted him at 2, hey, call, please. Because I can get back to you at 5:45 or 5:15. But he did call. He did call at 5:15. But When you go off like 3.5 hours, I'm like, that's a little. Usually it's like, hey, I got something going on.
I had to get done with something.
Were you hauling up the 700 pound table?
No,
again?
Trix would verify that thing's 700 pounds.
But it's up. It's in place.
Yeah, we got it up there somehow. I don't know, is
the construction done?
The only stuff left, I think Trix will do herself, which is just kind of touch up.
So this will settle Bullet down then?
Yeah.
As far as having strangers in the house.
I don't mind bringing this up because I don't think it's as serious as you. Bullet's limping right now. He's limping. But see, I think he's playing us a little bit because he'll limp, and then I'll be like, grab some treats,
take him back to the
back room, and he has to run down a hall, and he just starts running.
Running down, yeah, he's fine.
So I'm like, okay, Bullet.
Okay, Bullet.
I see through you, Bullet.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Yeah. Anyway, that's idle chit-chat, and everything's good.
That is idle chit-chat, sponsored by 738 Ag. You need seed, chemicals, fertilizer, seven runs of sprayer for you. 738 Ag runs the whole show.
Joey.
Custom application included. Learn more today at 738ag.com.
Joey can steer that thing with just his wrist.
Oh,
that big sprayer.
No.
No, you just drive with your wrist. Yeah, Joey. That's how Joey drives it. Doesn't do the GPS thing. He does it by hand. He's that good. He just takes a look at the field and goes, I got it, and hops in there. And steers with just his wrist.
Doesn't have to do a GPS.
He doesn't do it. No. Same way when he's combining. Same deal. Just does it old school. Thank you.
Joey's the man.
They're out there. Those guys are out there.
I've never been
more in tune with the harvest than since our show went.
Yes, Bill has helped us out a lot. With
our show went ag.
Yeah. Took a big turn. Now it's ag-based.
I get it now. I see it.
738-AG in Bertrand, 738ag.com. Matt Rhule was at the podium yesterday. Not in a good mood after Nebraska's loss to Minnesota.
Sip upset him. Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Here was how we greeted media yesterday. His opening statement.
Gret media.
Yeah, I fixed it.
Good job, Jay.
Here's Matt Rhule.
I appreciate you guys being here. Really, really bad loss on Friday night. Not much else to say about it. 7-6 at the half and got outplayed in the second half. So that starts with me. We preach ownership, and I did not have the team prepared to be the more physical team. Credit to Minnesota. They were the more physical team. And they made the plays you have to make to win the game, and I have a lot of respect for that. So, fortunately for us, we have another opportunity this week versus a really hot Northwestern team that plays very much the same way. Excellent defense. Can really run the football. Dynamic wideout. So, we'll have to show up much better than we did last Friday.
Nebraska was, remember, coming off back-to-back wins against Maryland and Michigan State and Maryland, and seemed to have a little bit of momentum going into that game, and then crash. Bill, now, I imagine what happens is...
Hey, guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small, independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
The game is played, and then these guys got to watch the film. Does sometimes that film process, do you ever go into that and go, oh, God, this is worse than I thought? or this is better than I thought.
Well, it's like that was my line is going to open up with. No matter what, it's never as good as you thought. It's never as bad as you thought. So that will be generally. I imagine it's probably not as bad as what they thought. Because the number of times that we've had like epic games before, I've been part of, and you go back, and go, oh wow, we were one. This could have went tragically. This could have happened. This could have been one of those things. And then the other way around, you watch it and you go, you know what? This wasn't quite as bad as what we thought.
Football's scary in
certain areas of this. So that's the general term of what's going on. But yeah, there's probably, I'm sure as they watched it in great detail, there'd be things you always have to go through where it's just, okay, what was coaching? What was players? What was preparation? I know every time that something came up that didn't go well, like with Coach Ogeron, his first question would be, did we rep that? What was our knowledge level of that situation?
Yeah.
And most of the time, if you did, it's like, yeah, we had knowledge of this. We had this. We heard the reps. And you can say, and Coach might say, most of the time you're like going, and I'm aware that we've repped this. I know that this happened. I know we fit this up. We didn't get this done.
God.
So that's what's being discussed. And then generally it's always, then you go back with the hard evaluations of, okay, because in the end it really comes down to it's always players over scheme.
Yeah.
So do we have the right players in the games? Is there anyone else that can help us? Are we getting enough touches to the right person in the right, whatever it is? Those are the things you're looking at. Again, did we get our players, which we would consider your playmakers offensively or your guys on defense, in the right spot? Or what do we do in those spots? And so that's the part that will show up. If there is a, like I mentioned before in different times, if there is a pass rusher that is a really good pass rusher, but he has a tremendous weakness in the run game, it's going to be attacked in the run game. Because now all you see is what you can't do. Mm. You just don't see people do the stuff that you can do. Right. They're going to stop that version of this and with really good coaching. So those are the things I'm sure that was upsetting. There's probably some stuff they go, you know what? Then there's somebody on the team, there's several, that played really well. I don't know who they are or what it was.
I wonder about
that. there would be some players say, well, this guy actually played really good, had a good game.
There are some guys that graded pretty well, actually. Now, the one thing that stuck out to me, Jake, I wonder if you have this, was he said he couldn't convince the coaching staff of what this game was going to be like. Now, he was hard on the staff.
Well, this is the quote making the rounds about him being pissed at everybody, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, here's Matt Rhule.
Making the rounds.
Yeah, it's gone a little bit viral.
Viral.
Somewhat.
Making the rounds.
Here's the quote.
It went viral.
it wasn't good enough. I mean, I think I've always been really, I don't know what to say to you guys other than it wasn't good enough. I mean, I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at the coaches. I'm pissed off at myself. I'm mad. So, yeah, I don't know how to say it any other way other than that. To be quite honest with you, we did, Emmett ran the ball hard. They blitzed us. We never made them pay. You have the ball in the red zone twice in the first half. You got to score two touchdowns. It's a pretty simple game to me. Run the ball, affect your quarterback, affect their quarterback. Don't beat yourself with penalties. We get down the red zone, we dive on a guy's head, we get a targeting call. I mean, we have them on the 4th-and-3, we get a defensive holding. You can't beat yourself with penalties. We haven't taken the ball away on defense in 2 weeks. Those things all fall on me. I'm the head coach. And so I don't mean to minimize it. I don't know how to answer it with you. You're exactly right. Everything that you guys are going to bring up, you guys are right about. To be quite honest, I'm bringing the same things up. You can't give up 9 sacks. You got to run the football. You got to convert third downs. I think we were 1-for-5 on third down in the first half, right? And if they're going to blitz you, then you have to get the ball. But they also sacked us in a 3-man rush. So it's not any one thing. It was just bad football.
That's a lot. It is. There's a lot of different things. But he also said, I couldn't convince the coaching staff what the game was going to be like. He said, I knew Fleck and PJ Fleck and Minnesota would be ready on a Friday night, but I couldn't convince the team. That's my job. It's my job to get them ready to play. We are not ready for that battle, especially in the second half. That's what resonated with me the most, because that's what I thought during the game, is they just not. Minnesota's taking it to them, however you want to phrase it. Nebraska's on its heels. Minnesota looks way more excited to be here. Minnesota always was throwing the first punch. All of that, all the cliches you can think of. That's why it was interesting to me that he said, I just couldn't convince our guys that Minnesota was going to give us problems. That's all very alarming to me, by the way. How do you not?
But you have age-wise, you have veteran coaches leading both sides. on offense and defense. You have veteran coaches. So that's odd. It's odd because,
very odd.
Especially as, like I said, ourselves, the pundit, sat here and made the evaluation off. If you were coaching in that game, you would be head on fire knowing what it'd be like to go to Minnesota on a Friday night. You would know that. I mean, it would be that they're going to have themselves ready to go.
We underestimated Minnesota, but we are media.
Yeah. I mean, we're not the team. Yeah. We're not the ones playing.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to make of all of that, but that. What else stood out to you, Jim?
Well, he was asked about the 9 sacks for Nebraska.
Yeah, he was.
Here's Matt Rhule on that from yesterday.
9 sacks. Yeah, I'm saying, like, you know, threw one left-handed, if they flip one up in the air. I mean, like, some of those could be sacks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, you know, they came out and they decided to pressure us and they blitzed us and we didn't adjust well enough to it. And the shame of it is it's 7-6 at halftime. You know, I mean, go win the game in the second half. Like, regroup at halftime, come out and do what you've done the last couple weeks. You know, just, you know. It's not going to be easy, you know. It's not, you know, you're on the road at a packed house, national TV. Of course, they're going to come out and play you hard. And so it's like, come out in the second half and win the game. And that's what they did. We didn't do that. They did that. So we didn't hit their quarterback. They hit our quarterback. It's just a pretty simple game.
The question actually was, so he had talked about the 9 sacks, and then in the midst of one of his answers, he said, Dylan avoided 4 or 5 more. And that got my attention. I said, no, wait a second. There could have been more sacks. And that was his response. Yeah. That he flipped one forward one time, threw one left-handed. That's what hit me. I'm like, whoa. There could have been 4 more sacks.
13 sacks.
Yeah, that's an ungodly number, especially considering I think there were 56 snaps total. So there could have been, let's say, just 12 conservatively more. And Nebraska had 54 plays. So you're talking about 12 snaps and 54 plays. You're talking about maybe 12.
It's just under 25% of your snaps.
12 sacks. They drop back. I don't know how many times they drop back, probably 32 times or something.
There was a stat that.
What do you do?
Yesterday I was on a show with Adam Carriker, and Adam said that it was 35% that Nebraska got tackled behind the line of scrimmage. 35% of the time, whether it be TFL or sack. So it was a third of the game.
Everything was getting blown up. So, Rhule yesterday was, I mean, I appreciated his, here's what you appreciate, the transparency. I mean, it's going to be, selfishly you think, oh, this will be an easy riding day because there's a lot of ground you have to cover here. But, man, inside those walls, it can't be, come on, it's got to be unpleasant, right?
Yeah, well, it's not pleasant. No, it's not. It's never like, but the faster you can bury the ball, which means you learn from it, but get onto the next phase of the next game, you know, as soon as possible. Because again, this is not a great roster coming in here at all for Northwestern. They are playing.
They're playing well.
They're playing
good
football. They're playing well. Yeah. If you go through their 5 wins, you'll be underwhelmed.
Sure.
Yeah, you're not going to be like, oh wow, that. But they did go to Penn State. They did go to Penn State when you fell.
And they
won, and they got James Franklin fired.
They did. Right.
That was at Penn State.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's impressive.
Yeah. So I would think it'd be good to get back to work. I hope they don't. I think there's a danger in overreacting to that sort of loss. You lost to Minnesota on the road. Now, my stance would be it's not the end of the world. We're 5-2. We just got to snap back quick, get Northwestern, then you know let's just get this and go from there. But I don't know. It felt a little end of the worldish yesterday, which I guess I don't know. He was being real, so it just sounds to me like there's a lot of difficult conversation.
He was asked, "Is the team bouncing back so far in practice?" Here's Matt Rhule from yesterday.
Great, but you know we'll have to find out tomorrow at practice. You know, I mean. Sunday, you know, we practiced last night and normal practice, you know, and they flew around. I mean, there's still, you know, 2 things can be true. You can play a really, really bad game and be really mad about it and still know that you're a good team. But Phil Jackson used to say something to the effect of like, successful teams are only successful when they're doing successful things. Like, you know, we got to play way better. And so, but I think they know that, you know, so they'll hopefully we'll reduce the game down to what it really, the game really, really is. It's blocking and tackling and playing really hard and making your plays when you have a chance.
He John Butler, the defensive coordinator, was not spared in this conversation. Rule talked about the missed tackles, which was especially notable in the secondary. But he also said, I don't think we called the game in a way that would wreak havoc, you know, get sacks, force fumbles. He said we were very vanilla in how we called the game. I mean, the coaches got skewered a little bit. Very vanilla in how
he said he was pissed at the coaches in that one spiel.
Yeah.
So what did he say? Very vanilla how we called
the defense. Very vanilla in how we called the game.
Here's rule now. Okay, here's audio.
The thing that we're not doing, though, is, you know, you can defend on defense. I'd like our defense to wreak havoc, you know, to get sacks and force fumbles and all these things. And I don't think we called the game that way. I think we were very vanilla in the way we called the game. And as a result, they got in rhythm. And guys had a chance to make, you know, the guy runs a shallow cross into cover. You know, we fooled him into cover two and runs a shallow cross. You know, the guy should be just, you know, smacked. You know, obviously we never want somebody to get hurt. We run up, we dive with the ankles, the guy gets a first down. So it's like, you know, it's just a little bit of everybody. But, yeah, there are definitely a lot of
There you go. He said that Nebraska might have taken Minnesota lightly. It's hard to get the sound from Rule because he answers about three things in one question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. It's great for the media. Like I said, it's just there's a zillion things you had to write, which was good. But he said once Minnesota started to assert its physicality, I don't know that we were ready for a fist fight. I think we thought it was going to be a little easier.
I don't get that. I mean, this team's beat you five straight years before that. He's a part of two of those, or one of those. Didn't play him last year, but he understands.
Well, he did, I think.
I would think you'd see Minnesota likes to beat Nebraska. Like P.J. Fleck.
Well, I think Rule
6-1 before that.
I think Rule did understand that.
Then how can you not see that coming? They play a type of football.
Well, I think he did see it. I don't think he failed to convey it to the rest of the enterprise.
Explain that to me.
Yeah,
I don't get if the coach knows that, how does it not get relayed to the
team? I
know
this. I can at least speak on one thing from a coordinator before. It's like I've looked at film and I've seen bad teams. And it's still just like it's horrific. You're pressing all the time. There's never time like, yeah, we'll just call it. You know, you're never thinking that. I just remember times that we had to defend people, and you're just like, I remember trying to defend when we were at Utah and had to play BYU, and Croton was the coach, and he basically had a new
Gary Croton.
He had a new offense almost every week because they weren't real good, so we were terrified. And then we'd talk ourselves in like, guys. The reason they have a new offense every week or do something, all these different things every week, because they're not very good. Survived the first, but you went into it like whoa.
They're the Steelers.
Yeah, it was. It was like, whoa. And so I just know from assistant coaches, your antenna is always up. I really have a hard time believing that the assistant coaches were just like going, this is a cakewalk.
Well, he did say, though, he said some of the assistants pushed back and said, why are you crowning these guys? That's what he said. That was very revealing. Yeah. I mean,
I'd say so.
Yeah. Minnesota. I got to watch what I say because I predicted Nebraska 42-13. So
everyone had him as a win. Everyone. Chin Daddy went bass boat. This is bass boat game. This is your chance to get the bass boat.
God, they weren't. Yeah. I mean, as you studied them, I don't know. I don't want to get into all that. They weren't very good on paper, I'll tell you that.
They had no sacks the previous 2 weeks. So
they had no sacks the previous two weeks.
They went 0-0.
They rushed for what against Purdue?
30 yards.
30 yards.
18 times for 30 yards.
Okay. Yeah. See that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You balance that against what Jake's saying, Minnesota's been a bugaboo for Nebraska for a long time. Long time.
It's never like overly impressed. They don't beat you by 100, but they're physical. They out-physical you every year. That's what they do.
They are physical.
And they pride themselves, and they should pride themselves on that. Mm-hmm. Play volleyball a little bit.
The thing that stood out maybe the most to me was, once again, I just really like P.J. Fleck's quarter zip.
He looks good. It's a good look.
He had a pink tie on.
Yeah.
He had a pink tie.
I mean,
it's a good look.
So what he does is he has a suit on, and well, I guess that's what coaches would do—a suit hotel.
That's change, normal. Yeah,
yeah, change it. He's dapper. He's a dapper.
Good look. Yeah,
yeah.
Dressed well.
What's his name? Philip John.
Philip John.
Philip John.
Thank you to Ryan Burns for that.
Yeah, we should probably Philip reach John. Out to Ryan Burns.
We should.
He's got to be. Burns didn't seem very confident about Minnesota.
No. The exact words when because you were in the hotel. Burns is over. You go. He didn't feel very good. And he didn't. He was like, his voice was like, I don't see how this game. He
right.
would have been, matter of fact, I believe, didn't he not predict Nebraska to win?
Yeah, 30-21 by 9.
He predicted him by 9.
A comfortable win.
This is the guy that covers him every week.
We just saw them do nothing in a win against Purdue. They won the game, but they had nothing offensively going. Yeah. So I understand
so
why.
Steve, easy on yourself, buddy.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, come on
don't
now.
Don't be mean to
yourself. The guy who covers him every day, that's a hard one to say. What's your own guys think? 30-21 Nebraska.
He picked them. Yeah, he picked Nebraska to win.
He said his exact words. He goes, "We can't block him." That's what he said. We can't.
They blocked him just fine. They blocked him just fine on Friday night.
Can't block him.
Before we get to break, if you're hungry in downtown Lincoln for breakfast, brunch, or lunch, where might you send the breakers this morning, Bill?
Bad bird.
Early bird,
not late,
is open right now. At 19th and K with free and spacious parking. They've got
Busch Light.
Breakfast tacos. Busch they got Busch Light.
Get a Busch Light.
Thank breakfast God. Nachos.
Mimosa,
French
Bloody
toast.
Mary.
Waffles.
Screwdriver.
Who can forget the world famous
Hash Hole.
Hash Hole.
Hash Hole.
Get your own today at Early Bird. 19th and K open till 2 p.m.
Mimosa.
Every single day of the week.
Mimosa.
Jake, do we want to make any sort of announcement?
Go ahead, Bill.
What's that? We have a guest is going to stop
We
by.
Will have a guest at 7 o'clock. That is Governor Jim Pillen
Confirmed.
Will join us right Confirmed. Here next to you.
The governor's coming in.
A couple more segments before we get to
George
Jim Brett. Pillen.
George Brett and the governor. George Brett will not be in today, but we do have the song again for you to play that
we
again
do.
Today.
Maybe the governor would like to hear
we'll
it.
We'll talk
when
ag.
When we come back, a little update on Wisconsin. Luke Fickell next on Early Break on The Ticket.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.